available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. Fight! I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions. Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
Well, David got me this time because I'm certainly not singing, but I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. Together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Pac-12 football. We are coming at you on our podcast network. It's massive. It's all over the world, this podcast network for the Podcast of Champions. But also on our YouTube channel, smash that like, smash that subscribe. If you're watching us live on YouTube, thank you very much. There's a, you know, it's 9:15 in the morning here on the East Coast, on the West Coast. So if you're watching here, maybe you don't have a job. Maybe you're watching, you know, accident lawyer commercials on television.
You're stuck in a blizzard out here on the West Coast.
That is true. Scott says he's stuck in Portland, snowpocalypse, and have nothing better to do with my time. So here I am. So I hope you stay safe, Scott, in Portland. Yeah, it's funny. I looked at the weather this morning. The whole West Coast is pretty shitty. It's like 84 in Miami. But yeah, we're gonna get snow. Like the Hollywood sign could get snow.
Yeah.
This is, I can't even believe we're in the studio. Like, all of LA would be shutting down.
Driving over here today, I'm going to tell you this. There was a little patch of water in some shade. My car skidded.
Was it like black ice?
Because it was a little bit of ice. A little bit of ice. That's all I'm saying.
A little black ice. Yeah. So hopefully you guys are all staying safe wherever you are. And, but we're here, both of us. I don't know. Under the weather, like allergies from all the wind or whatever. I don't know. It's kind of
a good thing COVID isn't a real thing anymore. Otherwise, we'd be in trouble.
Right. Yeah. I didn't get my cupcake before. David's got cupcakes. I made cupcakes. We're ready. We are ready.
David's so pumped.
David's in a good mood. Someone put that in the chat. David's in a good mood. G Greens wants to know why you're in such a good mood.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I got a cupcake. Ryan gave me a cupcake.
I mean, when you wake up to a cupcake.
Are you saying I just woke up? I have two small children. I woke up at 5:30, Ryan.
No, I was up at 5:30 too. Yeah. But I was at the gym. I wasn't taking care of kids.
No. Hence the difference in our physiques.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the cupcake. I think I'm going to have one of those later. We hope you guys enjoy the show. Like I said, if you're watching live on YouTube, smash that like button. Subscribe. Put that little alert, the little bell, so you know when we go live. Because we don't know sometimes we're going live. I didn't make this public until about an hour ago. So my apologies for that. So if you are listening, watching, we appreciate that. If you have any questions or comments, you can send us an email. We got a few emails today. Pac-12podcast@gmail.com. That seems to be the main avenue of getting your thoughts to our mouths. So just send us an email there. That's great. You could also call or text us. Our buddy Perk left us a voicemail. You can do that too, 424-532-0678. Or send us a text. We haven't had a text for a while. Should probably do that. You can tweet us at Pac-12Podcast or go to the website Pac-12Podcast.com that David never goes to, but I try to maintain so you can get all of our old
content. No one else has ever been there either. Can we get Google Analytics to finally determine whether or not anyone goes to that?
It's like me like looking to see when the last episode was posted and then me posting a new episode just two a week.
Nobody's going there.
I would think. Yeah. I don't know. But we're also on Reddit. Go over there, reddit.com/r/podcast.
Okay, again, we're not. Somebody probably is, but not us.
Right. You can make fun of us over there. But the best place to make fun of us, it's a more public forum. If you have that Apple Podcasting app on your iPhone, your iPad, wherever it is, go there. Read some of our reviews. They are really funny. So we can be self-deprecating. It's fun. You make fun of us. All we ask is that you give us a 5-star rating and then leave us a review that you can trash us, whatever you want to do. We have been so lucky, and of our 12 listeners, like 11 of them are super funny, and they've left some great reviews. So we appreciate that. It does help grow the show. And it's just kind of part of our shtick where people talk trash to us, and we read it on the podcast. But I don't know if we have any new ones, Dave.
Uh, I, I'm, No, we don't. But Rob just had a very good comment, because I was going to comment on it when you said it, because it was a very odd turn of phrase.
Yeah.
Our thoughts to your mouths. That explains a lot about why this show makes no sense. that was a beautiful little turn of phrase from
Do you like that?
A little bit ago.
Well, if you have a thought, you send us an email, and then it comes out of our mouths.
Do you not want to know when the last post on our Reddit was?
No.
2 months ago.
Okay. Should we just kill the Reddit? Or like?
Well, there's 244 people subscribed to it.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we kill it, but just...
I mean, we don't I think we've even. Already...
Well, I mean, we should probably go on it.
Speaking of zombie shows, I think that's a zombie Reddit.
I figure someone would just take it and run with it. You know, they'd just become like our POC official Reddit...
I think there's a couple people who have tried to, but the thing is, like, if you're running with something and nobody else is following you, is it really fun anymore?
Yeah. We have West Texas Mike. Why is the timing of this show so random? Well, here's the thing.
Because Ryan has 2 days a week where he is not either in Catalina or Vegas.
That's not true.
It's 3 days. Sorry.
Should we pick a day? Like, we were supposed to do that. We haven't done that.
Yeah. We've picked a day several times, and then you randomly go to Catalina or Vegas on, like, a Thursday.
Okay. So what day would you like us to go for? We're going to make it official right here.
Thursday at 9:05 a.m.
Okay. Not 9:15, 9:05.
9:05 a.m.
Okay.
Thursday.
You guys all cool with
I
that?
I can commit to that in perpetuity.
All right. I'll put that in my calendar.
Until UCLA football practice starts in spring.
Yeah. USC practice in the afternoon, so I should be okay on the Thursdays and stuff, but let's keep doing it.
I mean, who needs me?
But West Texas Mike, if you've listened to us at all, you know the randomness of this, the preparation that goes in painstakingly. No, this is just sort of how the show is, but it's us. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And it keeps going on. What else do we have at the top of the show? Oh yeah. So do we have any new, new reviews?
No.
Okay.
Not a one. Not a single person has reviewed us in recent memory.
Even of our post-Valentine's Day, like...
Not a word. Not one iota of a post.
I had people comment about they thought it was really nice that I brought donuts in and stuff. I was like, oh, well, thanks.
Yeah, not in our iTunes reviews, though.
Yeah, why don't we get any of that?
Yeah.
Ernesto.
I don't know.
He's saying, Dave loves some springtime football. I got to resubscribe to Sling. One last time.
One last go around.
One last go around. This is it. We don't have to do it anymore. I wonder, like, yeah.
Well, actually, are they going to show spring? So next year, when is the changeover? Like, is it after basketball season?
It's July.
Is it in July? So you might actually have to do it one more spring next year.
True.
Follow.
Depends what
see,
we're
that'll
do.
Be true dedication, by the way, is to watch the spring football games for a conference for which your team is no longer a part.
Well, it's not even just that. And that I think I would still do that if the Pac-12 was going to be the Pac-10 or whatever it is.
Sure.
And we're still doing the show, even though USC and UCLA are off to the Midwest. because do you know why they went to the Midwest, David?
To play Rutgers?
No.
You know we need the money.
Listen, we're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a shitload of money.
Thank you to Blake for sending us that one.
Thank you to Spaceballs.
Montlake Blake. Yeah, Spaceballs. He gave us – we asked for suggestions for good drops. I don't know if you get a better one than that, but thank you. That was a good one. But, yes, so USC and UCLA are going to be off for a shitload of money. I think we would still do the show – at least through the spring, and talk about spring football with all the schools. Uh-huh. Like, I think that's definitely what we would have to do. And then who knows what happens in July. But what we're going to talk, the main topic today is, like, is that going to be the case? Like, we still do not have a media rights deal in the Conference of Champions. And there's a lot of rumors and a lot of reports out there. I mean, I've heard everything from, you know, the Pac-12 is going to sign this sweetheart deal to – it's going to dissolve and everyone's going to get, you know, poached by other, you know, other conferences. Maybe they merge with a couple different conferences. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could happen between now and then. So if everything's like sort of status quo and they add two schools or just a 10, Yeah, next spring I'll get Sling again, and that'll be the final, because that'll really be like the new deal will start July 1st or whatever. So you won't have to use, you know, Pac-12 networks and all that stuff. They'll be on something if the conference is still whole. But that's kind of in question a lot, Dave. I think that's kind of the main topic today. You know, can Kliavkov pull off some sort of miracle, or are we going to see some fracturing? Are we going to see something outside of the Pac-12 just, you know, trudges forward with some new members and a new TV deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 remaining teams are going to have to deal with some very, very hard decisions of their own. Because so what it sounds like, speculation is whatever ends up happening might be in the like $20 to $25 million a year range per school, whether it's Apple TV or whether it's, you know, some low level offer from ESPN or whatever. That will be around what they're getting on this current 12-year deal, maybe a little bit more, but it obviously doesn't significantly alter the economies of the sport for these schools, and they'll be well behind every other major conference. But here's the deal. The Big 12 accepting new members, I think it's in their contract that new members only get a certain percentage of a full share of the rights deal. So they wouldn't necessarily make more money jumping ship. I think Oregon and Washington might be willing to do that because they'll recognize that, like, going to the Big Ten, if that's possible, but who knows if it's possible, would be good. But I think they're going to all be faced with some realities of their what's a nice way of putting it, but their like brand position in this media market, because whatever Kliavkov may have promised, $40 million a year, whatever it is, it's not going to be that, but it's not going to be that anywhere, no matter where you go. And so is the $20 to $25 million a year, and maybe it's a streaming only deal, who knows, but is that still better than anything you're going to get anywhere else?
Yeah. There's so much there. The talk of streaming, I think the New York Post reported that Apple is now a player in this. We haven't seen any, you know, tier one rights in college football go to a streaming service.
Yep.
And the benefit is, yeah, you got all these people that couldn't even watch on the Pac-12 network unless they changed their cable company or their provider. But it's also hard to get if you're switching around. You know, you're watching college football, you're going to ESPN, Fox, and that Oregon Utah game is on Apple, and it's like that's a whole different thing. There's no easy, at least I don't know of an easy way to get to that or get to Amazon if you're flopping around. You're like, you got to get out of the YouTube TV or wherever you're watching now, and then get into this app and then watch it from there. So there's definitely, you know, you can. The potential for more eyeballs in the Pac-12 network for sure, but the just casual fan watching is probably not going to be happening as much.
So there isn't the only barrier to entry there is cost, which with the Pac-12 network, it wasn't just cost. It was actual access. Like in certain parts of the country, it was impossible to access. So there's advantage to it. And let's be honest, losing UCLA and USC, you're actually losing a lot of the, with USC especially, you're losing a lot of the games that would have gotten picked up as marquee national games anyway. So
it's also the major, like, this was the largest area where DirecTV was. So I guess that, you know, that was the biggest problem too, because DirecTV is like their biggest footprint was in Southern California. And then, you know, now, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of – I don't hate streaming only as an idea. Obviously, it would be better to have better distribution on for national games. But the access for watching every one of your games – because the thing is, what are you trying to appeal to? You're trying to appeal to your current fan base, or are you trying to appeal to, like, generic football watcher nationally? Because the problem with the Pac-12 is that I think there's been some diminishment among the actual fan bases of these particular schools because the distribution sucks. So if you're a young alum who's living on the East Coast, your ability to watch, you know, to stay connected to your university's, you know, a huge part of the marketing arm, a huge part of the outreach of the university is the major athletic teams. And your ability to stay connected to that is diminished because you're on the East Coast and you can't get the Pac-12 network. It would be improved in this situation. You know, you pay your $8 a month for Apple TV or whatever, and you get to watch the games for,
right.
You know, 9 months of the year with basketball and football. I don't know. I guess that's a separate conversation, which is streaming only. Is that good or bad? I generally would lean towards it's better than what they have right now.
Yes.
But the other thing is, if you're Utah or Oregon or Washington or maybe the Arizonas, the schools that might have the potential to look elsewhere, do you see the Pac-12 having to drop down to a streaming-only plan, and do you see this as a viable option for you going forward? Because there's two different things going on here. You've got the network executives, the major movers and shakers who are making all this happen, who are almost invariably short timers who are just looking to eke out profits, and they don't really care about the long-term viability of anything. And then you have the university presidents and athletic directors, most of whom are looking to stay in their jobs for at least a significant portion of time, who have to think on a longer time horizon. You have to think, okay, as a president or whatever, a leader of the university, what's going to be good for us in 10 years, not what's good for us right now.
Yeah.
And what's good for you in 10 years might be going to the Big 12 and, you know, maybe for the first 5 years you're not an equal member, but then after that you are, versus getting a short-term, slightly bigger financial gain. And the thing is, for any of it to be better than that, you have to rely on some TV executive realizing that the long-term economies of the sport are better if there's a major viable West Coast league, which yeah. involves doing a sweetheart deal right now. They're not going to do that because, again, none of them give a shit except for their bonuses every year.
You love TV executives.
Yeah.
I mean, I think part of the issue, too, it's not just – it is good. Like, if you're a Utah fan that lives in Portland and you really had a hard time getting the Pac-12 network, like, you can get it. You can watch all that stuff now. But, you know, if you got, like, a Michael Penix making a Heisman run
– Penix.
And he never – you didn't – well, you know, like, Christian McCaffrey is on 7:30 p.m. West Coast. He's on too late, and they don't – you know, he doesn't win the Heisman when he should. Well, you know, something like that could happen again if all your games are on streaming services. So, I mean, but you need to get the money. Like, he put that money out there. He said like 40, 45 million and then kind of poo-pooed when the Big 12 got their 31 million. And now it's looking like to get the 31 million is going to be a Herculean task. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it totally is. But I think the problem isn't. The problem isn't getting to that number in like because Kliavkov promised that or whatever. The problem is getting into that number because you're not worth it. And that's the hard reality that I think a lot of these schools have to look at is, well, will we ever get there, or do we have to kind of sign on with somebody else and take some, you know, take it in the shorts for a little while until we get up there? And I really don't know. I think so. But going back to the presidents and the decisions they have to make, I think what you talked about right there, which yeah. is like the Heisman stuff and all that kind of stuff. And it's a legitimate point, but I think it's a distraction for what they have to think about, because that's not the most important thing for a university. The most important thing for a university is thinking about what purpose does athletics serve for the broader mission of the university, which is what these guys have to think about. And viability as a marketing arm, because, I mean, everybody saw the Johnny Manziel Texas A&M stuff, right?
Right.
When he was really good, Texas A&M's applications, funding, all that kind of stuff, when they were going 10-2 each of those 2 years, shot through the roof.
Yeah.
Because they had so much interest in the university based on seeing what he was doing down there, seeing the, like, atmosphere and that whole thing. It's super significant. I mean,
yeah. So, does Washington get that if they have a huge run? You know,
right.
Do they get that bump because they're not distributed well, like where Texas A&M
right.
would be?
Whereas you could take the short term money gain, go to Apple TV, but maybe instead, you take we'll take a 50% cut to go over to the Big 12 because at least we're going to be on ESPN and Fox.
Yeah.
And then if we do have that big run under Kalen DeBoer, it pays off. Because in the long run for a university, for one of these major universities, $10 million a year, $15 million a year, it's chump change. It's nothing compared to the value you can get from increased applications, increased university donations, increased all of this stuff from alums you already have.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of factors in this that I think the presidents and chancellors and whatever, they need to be taking a driving role here. I think it's out of Klyavkov. And this is something I think Wilner or Canzano was saying, but it's not like Klyavkov's got to put the best deal out there, but the presidents all need to make their best individual decisions based on what's best for their university, not what's best for the Pac-12, not what's best for their individual athletic teams, but what's best for their universities.
Yeah. T. Lawrence said in there, I don't think this is an actual quote, but he says, quote, George K. got 30 days for a deal that includes linear TV and at least $30 million per school annually, or he has to pack up his office, Oregon or Washington Board of Regents. I don't think that's a real quote or anything, but I've seen reports, I've seen tweets or whatever about something like that. Like, this could be, if Klyavkov can't deliver, does he step down? Do they want to get rid of him? Like, they let Larry Scott hang around for a long time. I can't imagine them wanting to kind of get rid of George K. But to me, it's more about if he doesn't get a deal done that's going to satisfy all the presidents and chancellors and the boards and everything, then I feel like the conference is going to get fractured. Like, you're not going to see Granite Wright's deal signed, and maybe it's short-term stuff, and then they're going to get pilfered by other, you know. I think that's probably the bigger thing, is that can you keep the conference together, you know? And if you can't, it doesn't. Your job's gone just because the conference is going to be gone.
Yeah, and so I think he needs to what he has to do is, I mean, it's kind of magician's work, but he has to find a deal that gives him good enough money and also a good plan for what it looks like 5 years from now, what it looks like 8 years from now. You know, like, it can't just be, oh, you're going to get 20 to 25 million from Apple TV, and that's just what it's going to be for the next 8 years, and then we're going to hope for the best the next time around. Like, there has to be some plan for it to grow, some plan for it to be bigger in the long run and also have bigger distribution. And I don't think it's possible.
Yeah. We had a comment from Jim D. This TV stuff feels like I'm at work, at a work meeting. When are we going to do in football? Well, it's the offseason.
Ryan loves to talk about this stuff.
I do love, but like,
he yelled at me beforehand because I was like, I don't want to talk about that. And he was like, no, we have to talk about it.
I don't know about that, but.
Yeah, no, he hit me. I was telling you.
Kyle says.
I'm going to tell the people the truth, okay?
Tell them the truth.
He hit me.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I don't have it yet, but I'm going to have a shiner right there.
I gave you a cupcake. Like, that's
the closest. Yeah, it was what you were paying. You were hoping I wouldn't bring this up after giving me that cupcake.
Yeah. No, but this, I mean, and I even talk about it on the USC podcast, even though USC's leaving, it's still like, this could reshape West Coast football as we know it. And I think Dave brought up a good point. You want West Coast football to survive. You want those, you know, you want it to be a relevant part of the national college football landscape. And I think it's become marginalized over the last several years. USC and UCLA leaving, it's sort of like, I mean, they have a foothold in the West Coast, but you want to see Oregon and Washington and the Arizona schools and Utah, and you want to see these schools do well. But if the conference they're part of is crumbling, then, I mean, it's going to change everything. You might see some schools in the Big 12 or the ACC or the Big 10. And, I mean, all that stuff is interesting to me. And we might know in the next couple of weeks when this, you know, whenever the TV deal comes out. I'm sorry, it's not football, but it's interesting to me.
Well, it's pure power dynamics, because the reality is, and let's just put it all out there, ESPN and Fox have no interest in what we just talked about, the viability of West Coast football, or not any kind of price tag that would make it viable. And that, at the end of the day, is going to determine this. You know, they can do all the smoke and mirrors they want, but if they don't have somebody, a partner willing to overpay, then Because the thing is, the Big Ten and the SEC, they're also getting overpaid.
Yeah, like but I don't
all
think...
these things are overpayments, but they decided, they colluded, the Pac-12 isn't worthy of an overpayment anymore.
And they also are in last place. And we've talked about this before, just the timing of it, that's maybe the biggest one. Well, I mean, after USC and UCLA leaving, the biggest misstep was allowing the Big 12 to jump ahead in line.
But as we talked about, I don't think it was a misstep. I think it was part of the strategic element from ESPN and Fox, which is no, but they
you,
don't.
You told me you don't like some of those Twitter people, but there's like that's the kind of conspiracy theory like, stuff that they're tweeting.
No, this
there.
Is not. This is not a conspiracy that ESPN and Fox are driving everything going on here. Like, it's not. Oh, Brent Yormack, he's just a genius. And he was like, let's cut the line and get less money. Well, it takes two to tango. He was the only one who cut the line. Who did he negotiate with?
Yeah. Sure.
Like, who decided to cut the line? Who decided, hey, Big 12, we don't do this very often, but why don't you jump the line and we'll negotiate with you first?
Yeah. West Texas Mike says, abusers usually like to give gifts like cupcakes as part of their gaslighting tactics.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I thought we were friends, West Texas Mike. I mean, geez. That's
wow. Wow.
That's pretty rough.
Talk about gaslighting.
Yeah. Don't show them the bruises I left on you. a couple other notes, like Brett McMurphy tweeted out earlier this week that CBS and Turner are no longer involved in the media rights negotiations for the Pac-12. So as you see people sort of dropping out, I'd mentioned before the New York Post reported that Apple was going to be a potential landing spot for Pac-12 football. That could be interesting. The president for Washington State joined John Wilner, and he kind of talked about things. And he kind of realized that vote of confidence. I think he made a joke about the vote of confidence. Like, that's always what a coach or AD says right before he fires the coach. So I think they kind of understood, but they needed to do something. But the longer this goes, Dave, it's just like – it's kind of crazy. And then you're not – there's a guy on Twitter.
So Ryan's getting into
– you want to do conspiracy
stuff? There's four people on Twitter who tweet all the time about the TV deals and their supposed purported inside information. It's all horse shit. But Ryan found one that piqued his interest, and so now we're going to talk about it.
No, I mean, there's – I mean, just in general. Like, there's the guy, the Minnesota guy, who – predicted this was going to happen.
Yeah,
so he had it right. But he does his own like YouTube show now and then. Crazy. There's a West Virginia guy. I don't know. I don't know him from Adam, but like he's followed by a lot of prominent people about this. But he had mentioned the potential for like an ACC merger.
Yeah,
certainly
not going to happen.
No, I think he tweeted that this morning. It wasn't going to happen. But like I said, I don't know. It's like some West Virginia guy. But the one that's, and it's not just him. Like other people have talked about this. A potential merger with the Big 12. Where do you stand on that?
Well, okay, so the Big 12 is in a much, much better position than the Pac-12 right now.
It wasn't the case before. Like the Pac-12 in a better negotiating spot.
But because they jumped the line, because their strategic vision, they were just like, yes, let's jump the line. We certainly weren't.
No, when Texas and Oklahoma left, for real, like they were scrambling. And the Pac-12 could have like sucked up some of those schools. They didn't. Because they had a void, they could get the best group of five schools. That wasn't the Pac-12's fault.
And then
they got poached
losing UCLA and USC was much, much more damaging to the Pac-12 than losing Texas and Oklahoma was to the Big 12.
If the Pac-12 wanted to do it, like on, last May, you're in a position of strength. Now you're really not.
Yeah. So the Big 12 has shored itself up as like a kick-ass football conference. Not the most wealthy conference, but a kick-ass football conference.
And they're really good at basketball, too. They're probably the best basketball conference, right?
Yeah, yeah. They've been that for a while. But yes, and Texas and Oklahoma weren't exactly lighting the world on fire for most of that time. But they are. Texas is a big part of why they are so good right now. It doesn't make sense for there to be a merger. It makes sense for the Big 12 to try to acquire, because I think the Big 12 from like a regionality standpoint makes more sense for a few of the schools. The weird one for me is Oregon and Washington geographically. It's sort of like the LA schools, but there isn't the value add of the LA market, but it's so far. Like it is so far from the Big 12 hubs. It's so far from the Big 10 hubs. it's just so far. Like, the Arizonas make enough, they make as much sense for the Big 12 as they do for the Pac 12. Like, it's,
yeah, they're real close.
Utah makes as much sense. Colorado makes as much sense for the Big 12 as they do for the Pac 12. But the Bay Area schools, because they've been talked about for the Big 10, I guess they make sense as like an academic fit with the Big 10. They make sense in that way. And it's the same sort of thing as the LA schools. But Oregon and Washington, I just don't know where they fit. Like, which one of those conferences makes the most sense. But I guess my point is, the Big 12 doesn't need to acquire the dregs. They don't need to acquire things that don't make sense, and they certainly don't need to merge. There's no incentive for them to merge when the Pac-12 keeps displaying its market weakness constantly. Going back 10 years when they couldn't leverage DirecTV to get distribution, all the way to now where they're struggling to get what would it be, two-thirds of what the Big 12 is currently getting per school?
Yeah.
So what's the incentive to merge? The only incentive is to add maybe a couple of these schools to make sense. And the Big 12, again, it goes into like the time horizons that you're thinking of, because I think there's this is something I often think about, like different businesses and different institutions and stuff, because I think UCLA has been prone to this at times where it's, despite being run almost exclusively by long-timers, a very short-timer mentality with nickeling and diming people, the Big 12 needs to think, okay, we are fine right now, but are we going to be fine in 5 years?
Yeah.
Are we going to be fine in 10 years? Are we going to still be viable? Does anyone care? And that's the sort of stuff that should influence decision-making. It just often doesn't. And so, you know, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if it's, okay, go out and try to acquire like 8 Pac-12 schools, or is it stick with what you have and just try to ensure that you guys can get the best deals for your 12 or whatever it is. I don't know. But that's what they should start thinking of, because it's quickly turning into a situation where there'll be the SEC and the Big Ten and then everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, maybe if you can get Oregon or Washington and then the rest of the Pac-12 falls apart, and then you can get the Arizona schools, you can Utah, Colorado on the cheap and make a big conference. I don't know. I mean, that'd be interesting to see. But that's why all this is interesting. Can you imagine, like what's the travel time to go? Like, if you got to get on a flight from Morgantown, West Virginia to Eugene, Oregon, like, what is that going to be like? What's the travel logistics or something like that? It would probably be pretty bad.
Yeah, that is. Let's pull it up.
Okay.
So if you drove it, it'd be 40 hours. Is that information that you needed?
No, I don't think they're going to take a bus.
You don't think so?
Probably.
All right. So wow. It's a connecting flight, but that wouldn't be the case for the guys flying. I mean, it's probably about a 5 hour flight, 6 hour flight. Brutal, super brutal. And that's the thing is, I mean, it's no less brutal than LA to any of these places. It's just, you're not actually getting as much value. And yeah, that's not me commenting on Oregon, the institution, or Washington, the institution.
Wow, why are you trashing them?
I'm commenting on the geographic location. And
you're such an elitist. You're such an LA elitist. Oh my God.
But that's part of it. I don't know. And that's not to say that they won't find a home. They probably have the most value of anyone left in the league.
Yeah.
It's just, are they going to be attractive enough for these conferences to continue to bend themselves in weird shapes?
Yeah. I remember Scheer told us last week that he didn't think like the Arizona schools would make a move first, but it would be more of like if Oregon and Washington aren't happy, and we've had some comments in the chat about, you know, if they're not happy, they're not going to sign a grant of rights deal. Someone said they're not going to sign a grant of rights deal if it's for a streaming service. So there's some of that going on.
I think they can posture that way. The problem with Oregon and Washington is, how much leverage do you actually have? Because, yes, you are the biggest dick in the conference left, right? You definitely do have the biggest schwang and schlong. But in the broad scheme of things, do you have any other option? Like, what is your other option?
Do you buy? Yeah, I think you're right. But if this was Oregon and Washington saying, we're not going to sign this, or do you buy that like Cal and Stanford are like, no, we don't want this team joining? Like, there's a lot of talk about the president's not being on the same page, that votes to add schools aren't going 10-0. There's a lot of they need 80%, right, to – and there have been reports out there that they're not getting the right votes. I don't know if those are true or not. Do you believe that the presidents aren't going to – like there's going to be – like Cal Stanford might feel a certain way or Oregon, Washington, certain way?
Historically, that's always been the case.
Yeah.
Like there's the schools operating in lockstep is a relatively recent phenomenon. Historically, there has been a lot of disagreement among the member institutions.
Yeah.
Losing UCLA and USC actually, I would think, diminishes the strength of like that the Cal Stanford, because those schools, I think, you know, generally speaking, were working along the same lines in terms of what they wanted and what they wanted to do. So it's going to be interesting, and whether a simple majority wins, I think there's a lot of factors here where, because everything is so unstable, if you're voting to add schools and like enough members are not happy with it, say it's four of them, do they just take their ball and go home?
Yeah.
So I think there's a bunch of crazy stuff. I mean, I think if you're betting on whether or not the Pac-12 stays together, I think it's never been more uncertain than right now. The thing that I keep coming back to is there another option? Like, is there really another option? Because I know there's a lot of speculation the Big 12 wants X, Y, and Z. Do they want them right now? Because if they don't want them right now, you got to sign something.
It's kind of along the lines with Kyle. He's saying, do you think the Big – because there's instability, I assume this is why he's saying this in the Pac-12, do you think the Big 12 wishes they could go back on BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston? I don't think so. I think – those were all good moves. I don't think you'd want to say, hey, we're going to add Oregon and Washington, but, oh, we wouldn't have taken UCF and Houston or something. I think it's more about you're adding more to it. So I don't think there would be regrets on that. I don't know. You have any thoughts on that? Or
no, I mean, I think it made sense at the time. I think it still makes sense. And also, again, the Big 12 might want to wish they could go back and see if they could add – see if they could get involved in the negotiations to get UCLA and USC. But that was unknowable at the time that they were looking, probably.
You want to replace Texas and Oklahoma?
Yeah, that would have been the, speaking of big swinging dicks, that would have been the,
I don't think those USC or the BDE move, though.
No, and I don't think they would have, but make a big time offer, who knows? And I don't think the Big 12 is any better of a – I think it's a worse fit academically and culturally than the Big 10.
For sure.
But a better fit geographically. Especially with the leverage UCLA and USC would have over them. UCLA and USC would have immediately been the movers and shakers in the Big 12 in the way they were in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
In the Big 10, they're, you know, they're in there, but they're not – If they, you know, if USC tries to put its foot down in the Big Ten, they'll say, oh, that's cute. We have Ohio State here and Michigan that say no. Big 12, they would have had that juice. And so it would have been interesting if they went and did that. And that would have provided a little bit more, because, again, the dollars and cents would have been a little bit different. Maybe more of the Pac-12 is invited as well at the same time.
Yeah.
But that was unknowable a year ago. I mean, this was all happening pretty much in secret.
We had a question from Kavit. Which deal would you guys choose? $40 million per school with Apple or 32 with Apple and ESPN? And then T. Lawrence, who's been active in the chat, says that wasn't going to happen. He said it would be $30 million with Apple or 22 with ESPN Apple. So, I mean, we don't know how much the money would be. Maybe T. Lawrence is closer.
I think you're both overinflating it, but yeah, okay.
So okay, let's go with the lower one then. Would you rather do more money with all streaming or with some accessibility to ESPN? I'm leaning towards the latter.
I'm probably there too, because I don't think the $8 million is significant enough to just drop all of your distribution down. But it depends on the complexion of that ESPN, what they're getting, like what you're giving them, because I think you're not doing it for the money at that point. You're doing it for the exposure. So what is ESPN offering? Is it just the 10:30 slot on Saturday night, 10:30 Eastern? Or are you getting legitimate games?
Right.
Are you getting all the weeknight games on ESPN? And are you also getting, you know, every other Saturday getting a midday. Because in that case, yeah, do the $22 million. But if it's only 10:30 p.m. and you're not getting the money, I mean, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other, because still the East Coast people who you were trying to get with that generic ESPN Fox thing, they're not watching at 10:30.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just, I mean, there's factors into it. But, yeah, I mean, if you're getting reasonable exposure on ESPN, I think you go that way.
And, you know, the ironic thing is, well, I don't know if it's ironic, but just I would say if you are going to be on a streaming service, it's probably better to be on at 7:30 p.m. because you're not going up against other games or anything good. So people probably be more likely to switch over to Amazon Prime or Apple at, oh, I'm going to watch the late game of the Pac-12. It could be kind of like a thing. If you have to do it during prime time or like the, you know, the earlier windows, you're sort of rolling in from College Game Day or Big Noon Kickoff and kind of, you know, you're, oh, I'm going Fox. What does Fox have? What does it have? Oh, CBS has a good game. It's easy to kind of switch around between those, and it's not necessarily easy to just like, oh, I'm going to, do I have to stumble upon Washington at, you know, in Tempe at Arizona State? I, you know, you might just,
you know, I'm going to accept that as a legitimate point because I assume there are people who do that.
Yeah.
But my thing is I don't like to base anything off of an idea so stupid. like, people can't – like, how many – and maybe this is just my behavior with modern streaming services, and my behavior may not be everyone's, but I go to things to find specific things in today's world, right?
Right.
Channel surfing is not a thing anymore.
It is for older people like me. Like,
right.
I'm a channel surfer still.
Well, no,
like,
and
I – and if I'm like, oh, I want to watch a show, I'm like, shit, dog, so I got to go to Prime, like – but younger people don't. They watch exactly what they want, like, right now.
Yeah, and I hate it in some ways. Like, it's not good because especially if you're a person who's like, oh, God, do I want to watch that? Do I want to spend the time to watch that? No, let me keep looking. Maybe there's something else. All that. And then eventually I just go to bed because I spent an hour looking through stuff. You know, on-demand only works if you know what your demands are. My point is you know, it is a reality for some people, so you do have to bake that in. It's just, it shouldn't be. And increasingly, it's not going to be.
Yeah, the younger people don't do that.
Well, younger people also watch on their phones. Like,
yeah.
If it's a streaming game, like, if I can only watch it on streaming, like, if it's the third game and I've, you know, got my TV or my computer, I'm watching on my phone, and I, frankly... the resolution on my phone is often better than the resolution on the TV,
wow,
given the like feed difference or whatever. So holding my phone this far from my face is better than watching it on the TV anyway. But certain people, old people like yourself, you want to watch it on the biggest TV possible because it's like a status symbol or something for you ancients.
No, I like lying on the couch and watching the game.
But yeah, I lie on the couch watching the game like this.
Yeah.
Isn't that fine?
But if it's like ESPN Plus, I either have to like cast it onto my TV or I have to go to the app on the TV.
Or you watch it on your phone.
Yeah, I'm not a big – like I usually never watch on my phone. Like I'll watch on an iPad.
Wow.
Like when we're watching three games at once for the Pac-12 season, I usually have iPad, computer. Phone is like last option.
Yeah. But. So, like, somebody in the chat just asked, how are people even going to know that games are on Apple TV? And I'm like, I don't even understand the point. Like, is the only way you find your team's game by, like, literally scrolling through your guide on your cable
subscription? But that's your team's, you know? Like, I think you're not a consumer of the NFL or college football in general. You're watching very specifically, but... I like to watch, you know, hey, I don't think 3 weeks ahead of time that Michigan, Ohio State's coming up or whatever. Maybe Michigan, Michigan State. That's an earlier season game. But when I'm like watching College Game Day or whatever, then you're like, oh, Michigan, Michigan State's on today. So, okay, I'll check that out. And sometimes you don't see that and you're just like, oh, what's on ESPN? Oh, wow, it's Tennessee's Alabama this week. Okay, I want to watch that. Just sort of like randomly knowing that like that's something I would want to watch. Or, oh, well, Texas and Baylor are both ranked. I'm going to watch that game. But I don't go into the weekend thinking about Texas Baylor. It's just sort of like on the channels that I normally go to. So that's, I think, what people are talking about. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I get it to a certain extent. I just think there's going to be some technological shift around this if more and more sports are on streaming. Like, there's going to be something where you've got like a, this is the college football channel where you click to whichever thing is on and it's going to open up that app on your whatever. But it doesn't matter. The point is, yes, people behave stupidly and channel surf.
This is an interesting kind of point from Kavit, and spells John wrong, but that's okay. Are John Wilner and John Canzano just homers? Because they seem to be the only positive voice for the Pac-12 right now. But they're also the most respected. They think the Pac-12 won't get less than the Big 12. And apparently they had a podcast that came out today maybe that they said that they think the deal is going to be north of the Big 12. Those are the only people I've heard say that. They're certainly well-sourced in the Pac-12. I don't feel like they are homers just personally, but I feel like, you know, you're getting, you know, a lot of sources that are in the Pac-12 footprint, and I don't think anyone wants to believe that that's not the case. And I think we're both of us are hoping that the Pac-12 is able to get some kind of great deal. Because if they don't, I don't want to see this conference crumble, and that's what could happen. I don't think they're being homers about anything. I just feel like
It's homering. I think
the Pac-12 people are positive.
You always have to pay it. Always read reporters, especially ones who have proven to be well-sourced in the past, in the context of, well, what are they well-sourced on? Wilner and Canzano are really well-sourced on the Pac-12.
The president.
Because a lot of their sources are high-level presidents or, in many cases, people at the Pac-12. And so are they being homers, or is this an interesting insight into what the Pac-12 is currently thinking?
Yeah.
And what does that tell you about the Pac-12? They're either confident or delusional. And I think you have to read it that way, because the important thing to understand about Wilner and Canzano is they're especially Wilner. I don't actually know Canzano's background that well. Wilner is a reporter first. He started as a beat guy. Commentary is secondary to him. And so when he's reporting things, it's sourced reporting. And so those sources, I mean, he's a classic beat guy. These aren't guys just talking, but they may not be accurate. Those sources might very well be a little delusional because they're Pac-12 sources. But it's insightful. It's interesting, and it's worth reading for that.
Yeah.
Understanding the context. You should always contextualize what you're reading. And when you stop at, oh, these guys are homers, they're idiots, especially with a guy like Wilner, where, you know, we've all read his reporting in the past, and especially on the end days of Larry Scott, it was all very, very accurate. Well, the sources didn't change. What did change, and what is a factor now? And that's the way you should read it. That's the way you should understand it. But always keep your brain on when you're reading somebody, especially somebody who's a respected voice, rather than just dismissing it, because you may not agree with it. I don't agree with it. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to get that much money, but it's interesting that they think that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they are operating with that belief, because that's the way you should read it. The Pac-12 isn't releasing this information, but Wilner is getting it.
Yeah. T. Lawrence says, if it's not my alma mater, I'm not streaming it unless I'm gambling on it, which I think there's a lot of people like that. Where do you stand on – this is a really important topic that I can't believe we haven't brought up yet. But T. Lawrence, thanks for being in the chat. But where do you stand on the initial, like, you know – H. John Benjamin, T, like the when your first name is just an initial now. I feel like that's kind of serial
killer-y. If you are not a politician from the 1800s or an author of 1800s fiction, you should probably ditch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something seriously wrong.
Yeah.
With the word. Yeah, no, yeah. Just kidding, T. Lawrence.
Just Larry. You're Larry.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Be Larry.
Planet Moolah wants to buy us some Little Caesars.
That's nice.
Are you a Little Caesars fan?
I don't think I've ever had it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not bad. They did like the hot and readies and stuff. I kind of like doing them. They had one real close to here, and it went away like a while back. Let's do one more, and then we'll like kind of move on. Let's go to Philip Maz. What are the odds that Apple or Amazon either purchases Sling / Fubo or start their own TV streaming service a la Hulu when all these channels so then all these channel changing issues are moot? So instead of just – I think some of them are starting that where you can like access multiple streaming services in one app, which I think would make things a lot easier. But to have everything have their own app – like, I'm just on YouTube TV now. I can watch it. So it's like basic cable, essentially. I don't know. Do you think that's going to happen?
I'm waiting for the sports version of ESPN on streaming. Like the...
All the sports shit.
Yeah, all the sports stuff in a streaming channel that's designed for it. That's all this kind of stuff. And maybe it's just an offshoot of Amazon at some point. But because I think there's different behaviors at play, and I think I haven't even thought it through very much. So, but it'll be like
you haven't thought something.
It'll be like everything else I talk about. But live stuff versus on demand. You're taking a service that's designed for on demand, and you're making it live by doing the sports thing, and it's basically live. It's 10 seconds delay or whatever it is. But it's two different. It's a different consumer behavior, which is what we're all talking about, like the channel surfing versus not. Well, the people who are going to streaming to find something to watch, they're not channel surfers. They're people who, you know, I've got a defined idea about what I want to watch, or I know this is the place where I go to find the TV shows that I like, so I'm going to go look on Netflix or whatever. Versus sports people who are, I want to watch this at a specific time on a specific channel. If it's on Apple TV, great. I just need to know where to go. But that's it's a different consumer. It's a different behavior model. It's like a whole different thing. So how do you capture that in a broader sense? And that's the part where if Apple TV only gets the Pac-12, if it's just the Pac-12 that goes to Apple TV or Amazon or whatever it is, and it's, you know, they've got, what does Apple TV also have? They have the MLS?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's not a broader spectrum of sports, and if it's not a broader spectrum of the sport you're watching, like if it's only Pac-12 games on the Apple TV app, then I don't know that you're getting what you want. I think it's, you know, if I was Jeff Bezos, Bezos. We're going to go with Bezos.
okay.
If I was Jeff Bezos and I really wanted to get into the sports space, I wouldn't dip my toe. You know, sports is a viable business model. You understand that it is. Go make a huge Godfather offer to like all of college basketball or all of college football. Whoa. Or everything that is not currently
like the NCAA tournament.
Everything is not currently like nailed down, and go get it.
Yeah.
And have a platform built around it. Because I think ESPN is trying to Frankenstein their way into that, where they have, oh yeah, we're good at streaming. They're not. The ESPN streaming stuff kind of sucks, and also they're still using old school production models. You could go a little bit hard if you wanted to as Amazon, because you've got literally billions of dollars to play with, and it would massively increase your subscriptions, and you could probably charge more for some sort of sports tier to Amazon Prime that would open up, you know, billions of dollars of revenue for you.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I wouldn't dip my toes with Thursday Night Football. I wouldn't dip my toes with the Pac-12. I would try to buy up a huge amount of the rights. Buy them out of some of these contracts and buy up the rights.
Yeah. This is a funny one from T. Lawrence. He says, my first name's Tracy. I've been mistaken as a female, but I'm a male. I'll go with Larry. So he's going to switch his name.
No, now go with Tracy. Go with Tracy.
Do you have any history with it?
I know a Tracy.
Do you know
a Tracy? I know a couple of Tracys. There are two entirely different Tracys on the UCLA beat right now. Both men.
There's another Tracy?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, Shannon Terry, who was the former, he runs On3 now, but he was, like, the former Rivals guy. Like, he hired me, you know. There's a bunch of...
These were all taken by women. These started out as male names.
Oh, they were? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
We also got to talk real quick. What do you think? Ohio State comes in and says, hey, Washington, I know we had a deal. Play home and home. Rip that shit up. Not playing. Yeah. That tells me more than anything that USC and Ohio State are probably going to be playing in 2024. But Yeah, any thoughts on Ohio State canceling this? And does
it's a bummer.
We're all talking about the instability. Does it impact Washington and Oregon being maybe less likely to sign something because they're like, man, we're not even going to be able to get to play these schools. We need to join one of these other conferences. Does it give a Washington or Oregon cold feet about viability going forward in the Pac-12 that this game gets canceled because there's just going to be too many big games in the Big Ten that they don't want to do this?
I mean, I think it's a huge bummer. I wouldn't take too much more from it besides that at this point because it's not the first big home and home that's gotten canceled.
Yeah.
UCLA and Michigan had their home and home canceled.
Yeah, UCLA canceled that, right?
Or was no,
that
Michigan. Yeah, you piece of these things happen. It's a big bummer. But Washington get a nice little payday from it, I think.
I think you get like $500,000 or something.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I think you look at your future schedule and you see what the gaps are. I don't think any cancellation of a single non-conference series should be that big of a deal to Washington or to any of the schools, except if it was – I mean, Washington State's been a viable enough Power 5 program with basically never having a home-and-home with anybody.
I know. That's insane.
It's not the end of the world, but it is just a huge bummer. You know, seeing Washington and Ohio State doing that would have been a lot of fun. I think there's a big incentive to like extrapolate from all these little data points that, oh God, this is the end of the Pac-12. This is why. This stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it always has.
For 2024, USC opens the season against LSU in Las Vegas. They have Notre Dame on the schedule. And then probably like Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. Like that's going to be insane. Their first year in the big
almost like, and this is just me, you know, again, just spitballing here. It's almost like there's going to be a competitive disadvantage to being in the Big Ten. Almost like it's going to lead to more losses than you would otherwise have.
They'll probably have more losses, but their schedule will be so ridiculous. With an expanded playoff, I mean, that could be like a, you know, you could lose two or three games and people are like, they're still playoff. You know, if they beat like, they lose like LSU to open the season, but they beat Ohio State later. Like there's like there's
you know
some
it's gonna be really funny.
But if you lose them all, then
do you know it's really gonna be really funny?
What
when UCLA and USC are still hit with East Coast bias because they are literally still on the West Coast and they don't relocate their universities to Nebraska, and it's still because most of their night games on the West Coast people are still not watching.
You think it'll still be a thing?
Yes, of course it is.
They're going to play a lot of early games.
They're not going to get the benefit of the doubt that a three-loss Michigan team is going to get.
USC would.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and if UCLA has a great season, which, you know, Chip Kelly, for sure, I think that's you lock him up, long-term deal.
I think there's real advantages. Can you play the drop again?
Which what? Oh.
You know we need the money.
Listen, we're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a shitload of money.
But that's the only reason. There are going to be disadvantages beyond just the simple, oh, we got to travel a lot. Like a lot of the baked in disadvantages of being a West Coast institution don't change. Just in fact, they get worse if you go to another conference that's not a West Coast conference.
Yeah. Nice. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we will come back and do some questions or any other news that Dave wants to talk about because he loves this kind of stuff. Back in a minute. Welcome back. Taylor says, Ashley, Lindsay, Leslie, Madison. The girls took a bunch of boy names and never gave them back. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's things you learn. Someone did want us to talk about Civil War generals, but we're kind of going long.
I was already. Just going to bring up Ashley was the name of one of the characters in Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, Ashley.
Leslie Nielsen.
Popular. Leslie Nielsen.
Nielsen. Yep. Is that right? Is that how you know?
Yeah.
Very nice. We do. Let's start with a voicemail, if that's okay.
No.
You have no choice. I haven't muted you for a while. That was fun while we did that. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Ferk. Just kind of had a question following up on last week's episode, how you guys were talking about kind of the future of the remaining Pac-12 schools. And I know a lot of blame can be placed on Larry Scott. Sounds like with things that are moving forward, some blame could be put on George Klyavkov. But I was wondering, how much blame would you guys put on the current and past Pac-12 presidents during this time, or presidents of the schools? Because it seems like they either don't really know how much of a factor athletics can play in kind of the overall success of their university and obviously the conference. It seems that they either don't know or don't care, and they were kind of willing to just let Larry Scott do whatever. And so I was wondering kind of how much blame you would you'd put on those guys. And then on another note, I know from a few podcasts ago, Coach B reached out to you guys for you guys to be fans and come down to see his game. I don't know what the hesitancy was on your guys' part, but I want to say to Coach B, I'm happy to support the it was the Ramona Bulldogs, I think, from Indianapolis, Indiana. And if you guys ever somehow play out here in Indiana, there's a good chance that I will probably consider going to the game. So looking forward to the upcoming season. Anyway, love the podcast. Thanks, guys.
Nice.
Our hesitancy is that we don't travel.
We can see Perk when we, you know, when we're covering
yeah,
the
we should go see Perk. So the initial question was, how much blame goes on the university presidents for everything that's gone on? Obviously a ton.
Yeah.
And it's,
they extended Larry Scott.
Yeah. And I think they were sold a bill of goods. They took way too long looking under the hood. You know, they have a mission, that I think a lot of these guys are eggheads, and they don't pay attention as much to athletics, and with good reason. I mean, they're handling huge budgets. It's not actually, as much as we consider it, it's not actually a significant part of their day to day. But, and this is the part where I think it always gets a little bit lost in the shuffle, it's a huge part of the implicit marketing of the university. It's a huge part of, it's in so many ways, it's a huge part of the public face of the university. The football coach and the basketball coach for major universities and athletics, they are, in many respects, the biggest PR person for that university. It demands focus beyond the simple dollars and cents associated with what it brings in revenue and what it, you know, what the outputs are in terms of how much you have to pay the coaches. Because if you're good, and if you're on the national stage, it does influence a lot of other aspects of your university that you wouldn't even think were connected. Donations, like it's been shown in study after study, donations increase drastically when the teams are good. So it behooves investment in the programs, and not just investment of money, but like investment of interest, investment of time on the president's part, on the chancellor's part, on whatsoever. And yeah, I think they didn't do their due diligence with Larry Scott. They were sold a bill of goods.
And there was a few presidents that were sort of championing him, and they were completely wrong.
Yeah, well, and they were sold up the river by him. You know, it was very much, you know, we're going to get X amount of money from this, which, given what they did with Comcast, maybe he, like, literally just messed up the basic math. I have no idea. But they were sold on something that it probably should have been, oh, this is too good to be true. And these are, you know, major academic types. I mean, they should be pretty smart. Okay, maybe you're sold the initial bill of goods, but 5 years in, 6 years in, when you're not getting anywhere close to that amount of money, and the DirecTV thing is obviously dead. Like, it's been obviously dead for 8 or 9 years, and they were still talking about it.
Do you remember the beginning where you're just like, how's this deal going to work? And it was just like, it's not. It's never going to work.
Right.
And it never did.
And getting locked into, what was it, a 12-year deal?
Oh, my God. So terrible.
And just all these things that, you know, savvier people should have been able to figure this out, and they weren't. So, yeah, I mean.
Hey, but owning the Pac-12 network outright, that's going to be huge.
It's going to be great when we have our own rights, leveraging them. Yeah, except you no longer have USC and UCLA's.
Yeah.
Like, they're not absolved here. I mean, as we've talked about, if you want to pin blame, UCLA and USC are damn near at the top of the list. But the individual presidents, I mean, these were all voting members of the Pac-12, and they all voted right along to let this happen.
Yeah.
So Larry Scott, the representative, and he sucked, but he wasn't appointed from on high. He was voted in.
Yeah. And
they
extended.
Took way too long voting him out.
Yeah. And sometimes you just like, you make this decision, like it's going to be Larry Scott, and you're just buying to what he's selling and just keep it going. And there was definitely people that, you know, he kept his inner circle. He knew how to, you know, butter up the right presidents and keep, basically he was doing whatever he could to keep his job. It wasn't what was in the best interest of the Pac-12. I mean, he wasn't even talking to athletic directors in the beginning. And so that stuff that if you're the president and you're at AD's coming to you, you're like, hey man, Larry Scott's not even taking my calls. You'd be like, hey Larry, you know, next meeting, like we should have the athletic directors involved in this, but it was only the presidents and chancellors. And yeah, there's just so many problems with all of that. Speaking of Coach B, I think he's got the first. You want to start us first email from Coach B?
Yeah, let me pull it up. All right, so this is the Oregon State. No, we had already done that one.
This was conference realignment.
Conference realignment.
Yeah.
What up, my dudes? I love talking conference realignment and Davey W's claim of an inevitable two-league, 24-team super conference format has got me thinking. So I have three for you, numbered for Dave's convenience. One, for the record, I hope the Pac-12 sticks together. I got love for West Coast. But if the Big 12 raids the Pac and Mountain West, who are the new conference rivalries going to be? For reference, here is where you projected the teams to end up on the last POC. Big 10, Super, Washington, Oregon, Stanford, Cal, USC, UCLA, Big 12, Mountain West merger, Wazoo, Oregon State, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State. BYU, Utah, and the Holy Bowl seems like the only lock. I guess USC will immediately compare themselves to the Ohio State University, but I imagine Penn State will actually be more of a realistic problem that pops up every year. Maybe someone from the former ACC, USC versus Pitt, winner gets to keep the 2021 Biletnikoff Award for the year. UCLA versus Michigan State in the annual Battle of the Second Suns. I am hoping for an Oklahoma State versus Oregon State annual game that slowly takes over the title of the Orange Bowl.
Interesting. I think, well, it depends. Like, if Oregon State and Washington State kind of go together, like part of the Mountain West or something, like I think we projected that.
They would probably have to start they would play each other. Rivalry.
I think they would be their each other. They would be the rivals. You know, Utah, if they're in the Big 12, certainly the Colorado thing would kind of go away, and it would be more about BYU would be like the big rivals, like Arizona, Arizona State bringing their own rivalry. So that's not really,
you know, I think actually Oregon State would probably just maintain Oregon on the schedule. Probably. They would probably be incentivized to do so. And Wazoo would probably do the same with Washington.
But if those schools are in the Big Ten and they got to play the Pac-12 school, I don't know, like the Texas A&M and Texas didn't play anymore after Texas.
Yeah, but
A&M
there's like real weird animosity there.
Yeah.
I think the states would want them to continue. To
I think
play
they
those
would.
Games.
Yeah. But all right.
Two, any chance of a West Coast versus East Coast league, corner schools to the Big 12, then the ACC versus California, Oregon, Washington, Hawaii, Alaska, go Sea Wolves?
That'd be a long haul. That would be a long haul.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think any of those mergers make any sense.
Yeah, probably not. It's more about, it's like, do you need to buy the whole company when you can take the top two employees and then the company sort of falls apart, and if anyone else you want, you could get them. I feel like that's where and right now the Big Ten doesn't have a commissioner. You know, Kevin Warren is on his way to the Chicago Bears. They haven't announced a replacement yet. So it's hard to see the Big Ten doing anything.
Yeah.
But Brett Yormark, I mean, I think, you know, he's gonna be in the ear of all of the Pac-12 schools or a lot of them. And if they're going to take his calls much more often if this TV deal isn't very good. And that's just sort of like the reality of it. Like, you have to deliver. Klyavkov has to deliver on this TV deal, or the people under you are going to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
Wherever it is.
Totally. All right. And three, can we stop pretending Stanford and Cal are going to allow San Diego State into the Pac-12? No shade to State. That's my local school. I'm just saying, let's be real about Bay Area academics here. UC academics believe themselves better than the Cal State schools. They are more likely to start a new academic conference to rival the Ivy League. Cal, Washington, Stanford, Tulane, Vandy, Northwestern, Georgia Tech, Duke, UC Davis, Cal Poly. Wouldn't that be fun? Keep it rocking. Looking forward to a spring filled with POC talk. Coach B, you included a Cal State in your list, Cal Poly. they are a Cal State. They're a California Polytechnic, but they are in the Cal State system.
Yeah. Do you buy into the fact that Cal Stanford are sort of like, I don't want to say vetoing, but aren't voting for members like that, that you're looking at from the football point of view. Hey, add Southern California. Hey, add Dallas. But you're looking at, you know, it used to be a religious affiliated school, SMU. San Diego State's a Cal State. Like, do you think that they would say no to those kind of things? Do you believe that's real?
I don't think they would say no to San Diego State. I think they would say no to SMU. Yeah. That makes sense because that's also cultural problems. Stanford and
apparently
Cal.
They stopped the Methodist affiliation a few years ago.
But it's still Stanford. And Cal.
Yeah.
San Diego State, I don't see it being as big of an issue. I think there would have to be some relaxation of like actual academic rules because I still think. Isn't it true that the Cal States can't offer doctorates? Something like that?
I'm not sure.
So I don't know. Maybe they do. I don't know if they have significant issue with it. San Diego State's a really good school now. So they shouldn't. And Stanford and Cal shouldn't have a whole lot of leverage here because, I mean, have you seen those two schools?
I mean, there's potential that, like you're talking about, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there's so much that could happen. And it could just be, like, status quo. But holy crap, like, this could, like, the USC-UCLA thing leaving.
Changed.
It's changed everything. And there's, you know, national sports writers that are like, it's still hard to get your arms around it. Like, you can accept Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. But USC and UCLA, you know, going all the way to the Big Ten, it's like.
You know we need the money.
We're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a shitload of money.
Like, literally, it's just it just could change a lot. And maybe it doesn't. Maybe a whole bunch change, but man, some stuff could change.
Yeah, and I want to, again, be on record. I think it's horrible. I think it's very bad. I don't think it's good.
You're good.
I think it was influenced. I think it's significantly influenced by two West Coast guys being at the head of the athletic departments for USC and UCLA right now. I don't think it would have happened if it was Dan Guerrero and whatever, even Lynn Swan. I don't think it would have happened. But I think the fact that it was two guys who have absolutely no ties to the region whatsoever and do not care. And just looking at the dollars and cents, the thing is, and this is the part that I keep coming back to, is you can't just make decisions based on short-term dollars and cents. And this is the part where it gets wonky. But when you're thinking about UCLA and USC's athletic position 10 or 15 years from now, is it better or worse by virtue of being in the Big Ten? Yeah. And some people say, well, because the money is better, it's going to be better. I don't think it's as simple as that.
No.
Look at what Nebraska is doing right now in the Big Ten. How are they doing?
Yeah.
And it wasn't – people talk about Nebraska football like it was ancient history. They were still really good right around the turn of this last century.
Yeah, they were.
And it was only 9 years later that they went to the Big Ten, and they have not been good since. I'd caution everyone to think about, okay, and it doesn't even matter now because it's done.
Right.
But it's not going to be all sunshine and roses.
You see Regents boards? Are they meeting anymore?
No, but the thing is, that was all a dog and pony show. Where somebody needed to stop and say, okay, not what does this look like next year for our budget situation, not what does it look like 3 years from now for, you know, will we be able to hire a new coach, but 15 years from now, do we want to be an island out on the West Coast with no one else playing major college football, and the only places we can get major college football games are in the Midwest, in the East, in the South?
Yeah.
And is that where we want to be? Is that where we want the sport to be? And then from an institutional standpoint, do you want to be playing big time games at the Rose Bowl with other schools in the region, or do you want them to all be, people from Indiana coming to town? Does that bring value for your university?
Yeah.
Does that add value for your university?
You sell a lot of beer and tickets and stuff, but that's.
But you know. does that move the needle at the end of the day? And
well, you make a bunch of Indiana fans come and they want to apply to go to school.
Maybe so, and maybe
their kids go to school at UCLA.
There will be positive benefits from that, some of that stuff. But I mean, just from like a mission of the university, from a what's best for the university standpoint, it seems like such a short term thinking move. And dressed up as if it's long term thinking. Oh. But the Big Ten, and that's going to be viable for the foreseeable future. I mean, sure, you don't know that. You don't know if college football is going to be viable for the foreseeable future, and you don't know if this is the thing that actually ends up killing it as a major thing.
We could have a zombie apocalypse tomorrow. Who knows?
There's so many different aspects.
I want to be a fly on the wall at the UC Board of Regents meeting, and like when Gavin Newsom drops in and stuff, and they're like the presentation. You know, I don't know who would be, you know, someone from UCLA kind of presenting this, and there's a, this is about the money. And he's like, no. This isn't about the money. This isn't because it's more money. It's because it's a shitload more money. That would be that. Martin Jarman up there puts up a chart. Just like it's a shitload more money.
Yeah, it's two lines. So here's the amount of money we're going to get here. Here's the amount of money here. The difference in between is a shitload. All right, next question.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to an Oregon Post Pac-12 question from John in Oakland. Ryan and David, a completely hypothetical question about the Oregon Ducks. The Pac-12 completely evaporates with ASU, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah jumping to the Big 12. The door to the Big 10 is locked, barred, nailed shut by the conference presidents / chancellors with two growing Dobermans, a growling Dobermans named Carol Folt and Gene Block sitting in front of it. Do you think Oregon would go independent? Is its athletic brand strong enough for this approach, John in Oakland?
Boy, I think you would.
I think it's Big 12, right? Or even ACC.
I think it would have to be Big 12. Yeah. I think they'd have to jump somewhere. I think you could try to do something like mesh what remains of the Pac-12 with the Mountain West and then be the top dog in that conference. Because the thing is, Oregon is almost an independent entity now, in the same way like the Gonzaga is in basketball and whatever they're in the West Coast Conference, where they're going to get their recruits, they're going to get their money almost independently of whatever conference they're in. I think Oregon kind of has a little bit of that juice now, where if there is a football version of that, it could be Oregon. So I don't know that it's necessarily hugely important for them to be a part of some, you know, mega conference. But that's probably a worst case scenario. I think in this situation, just jump into the Big 12 would probably make the most sense.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you there. And it might just be because the Big 10 can't get anybody right now because they don't have a commissioner. So, but all right. I think we have one more email, then we'll do a couple more chat questions and get out of here.
All right. The last email is from Corbin, UCLA in 5 years. Hello, Ryan and Dave. With the LA schools leaving the charred remains of the dumpster that was once the Pac-12 in favor of the sometimes frozen plains of the Big Ten in 2024, I started thinking about how each team would evolve into their new conference and coming up with various comparisons. My question is, does UCLA become Jordan Brand Maryland? And by that, I mean a football program for a state school that is overshadowed by the local and occasionally good professional teams that it shares a media market with. As its background talent is recruited away by USC and Alabama, does UCLA start selling season ticket packages starting at $99 as basketball becomes the real gem in conference play? What is UCLA's answer to SECU Fields' loaded crab pretzel? Thank you for the weekly hour of laughter as I pretend to do work. I don't understand the Jordan Brand Maryland reference.
Maryland's Under Armour, so they're like, like the founders, like.
But are they in the? But how is that a? Are they in the shadow of what, the Ravens? Who are they in the shadow of?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite following. Football
program for a state school.
The founder of Under Armour is like a Maryland guy, you know.
But Jordan Brand, okay, I'm struggling with this one. I'm struggling
maybe
a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm not sure.
Okay, so I would say UCLA has. I mean, I think there's a reality that both college teams in LA are going to struggle with the presence of two NFL teams in LA, and they have already started to in the last couple of years. But when they're good, people will show up.
Yeah.
In the same way that's always been true, when UCLA and USC are good, people will show up. As I've said, I think they're going to have a harder time being good in the Big Ten. Doesn't mean they won't be, but they're going to have a harder time.
What is that? So you're saying that the conference that we cover, the Pac-12, the Conference of Champions, you're saying is weak. That's what you're saying here?
I'm saying it's local. and local beats all. Oh. You know, not having to.
So it'll be harder because of the travel.
The travel is going to make it a lot worse.
Gotcha. Okay.
And yes. So, yeah, that's about it. I don't really know how to answer the rest of it. They should. I mean, legitimately, here's another thing. Basketball tickets at UCLA for like students cost a lot of money.
Do they?
Yeah. They don't give them out for free.
I told you the USC-UCLA basketball game, they were selling like $150 tickets. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Yeah,
they should be free. All tickets for students should be free.
I like student being able to buy a student package.
This is the nickel and diming I'm talking about, by the way, is it does not matter significantly for the bottom line of anything besides the athletic department. And the only reason it matters for the athletic department is because at UCLA, they have to be independently self-funded.
Yeah.
And they don't get subsidies from Central Campus for some stupid bureaucratic reason. Mm-hmm. And so they have to charge stuff for students to go to basketball games. But ends up being, I don't know, how much revenue could it possibly be? A few $100,000 a year? Doesn't matter. Those
It'd be like a selling point. Like, hey, you get free tickets.
Free tickets. And then when you're an alum, after you've attended how many games over your 4 years, you're going to want to continue to go to the games. And now it costs $200 for your young alumni seats.
Yeah.
And then 5 years from then, now it costs $800 because you're not a young alumni anymore. Are you going to keep going at that point because you got the gateway drug early on? Like, take your lessons from the drug dealers, okay?
I try to all the time.
Right. You do not need to, like, just completely, like, get all the blood from that stone right at the beginning.
You give them a free one.
You want to be a leech.
You give them a free one.
You want to be a leech for a long period of time. You want to be a parasite. You don't want to be a vampire.
You hook them with the free ones in their in college.
You don't want to kill the thing. This is a good example.
Okay.
You want to be a vampire, not a zombie.
Oh yeah. So
right.
Keep them alive.
Keep them alive. Maybe turn them, but you know, just suck a little bit of blood.
I never understand what what do you have to do to turn? Like, so are you?
Well, it depends.
Just like feeding versus turning.
It depends on what your vampire fiction is.
Okay,
because so there's one things. Where like they bite you, then you have to bite them at the same time.
Oh, really?
You got to do this whole thing.
And then you turn that way.
And then you turn that way. But I don't know. That might have been Anne Rice, and that was all like commentary on like there was a lot of like homoeroticism there when it was still like a taboo subject. So, you know, was it metaphorical? Who knows? And then there's the just, oh, sometimes they bite you and they only suck a little bit of blood and that's when you turn, or they bite you and they suck all your blood and then you just die and you're a husk.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Cronin's The Passage where they might just like basically eat you and you're dead. You know, there's a lot that goes into it, man.
Yeah. Let's go to Matt in the chat. He says, Dave, thoughts on UCLA's new defensive coordinator? Wants to talk some football.
I think it could be good. Young guy. He's never been a coordinator before. Doesn't fit the bill of like a big-time name that I think a lot of people were clamoring for. But could be good. Not a retread. Not a Jerry Azzanero, Bill McGovern. So we'll see. He was well thought of at the Ravens. NFL guy. We'll see if he can recruit. We'll see if he can, you know, bring that level of energy to that. New blood hopefully has like a better understanding of what modern defense is supposed to look like. And we'll see.
New blood. I like
new blood.
The pun there.
We love new blood.
I think it's like storming outside. It's crazy. Kavit, what's the dollar amount per year the Pac-12 deal would have to generate for USC and UCLA to have buyer's remorse with the idea that you would go to the playoff less in the Big Ten? I don't know if you realize this part, but...
You know we need the money!
Listen, we're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a shitload of money.
I don't know what the... I mean... Klyavkov was trying to make the point that UCLA was going to be better off financially if they stayed, if they got like $45 million from the Pac-12, which obviously that's not happening. But I don't know. I don't think there's a number like
– I think
you got buyer's remorse.
I think he was making arguments about like specifics for the short term, which again, making short-term arguments here is stupid. I think what he should have been saying from the beginning is you're going to take a short-term hit sticking with us. But in the long run, it makes a whole lot more sense for you to stay west.
And I think that would have been a more compelling and believable argument for a lot of people. It wouldn't have worked for the same reason. All this stuff wasn't going to work. But that's a compelling argument. Like, if it's – you can make $45 million a year and you have the stability of playing the same schools you've always played and you have the stability of being a West Coast conference and all this other stuff, you can shore this whole thing up. We'll give you a few extra points on the deal if you really, really need it. But, you know, the $45 or $50 million you make a year here – is going to make you more viable in the long run as a competitive sports school than going to the Big Ten. And, you know, it might not have worked, but I think that number presented in the right way could have been compelling. I think he was maybe a little slow to the trigger. And that's a big problem here, is that I don't think he had anything compelling to put on the table last spring when maybe these sorts of arguments would have had some juice to him. And, you know, there's, you know, it's all water under the bridge now. And I don't think UCLA, as we talked about at the time, UCLA and USC didn't really give him any ability to counter. But
yeah,
he didn't have anything ready anyway. I mean, as we see now, they were waiting to negotiate. And even at the time, they were still waiting to negotiate. So,
yeah.
But yeah, if you could have said $50 million a year, $45 million a year, I think you could have presented that in a compelling way.
Yeah. Let's see. Turtles are good. Over under 2.5 years of Dion at Colorado. What are you guys thinking?
Over.
Yeah, I think over for sure. I think he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah, at least 4 or 5.
Yeah, my thoughts. Like, I don't know if you're jumping up from there. Alex says, Ryan with 32-channel board using 2. I asked for suggestions because I have a lot of weird sounds that I don't know what I would use for. Like, you know, what am I?
Oh, groovy, baby.
I played some of these last week, and then you guys made fun. So I asked for suggestions of good sound for our show. We got one, so I used it. So give us more suggestions, and I will do that.
I think too many drops is not so good. I think keeping it, you know.
Keeping it simple.
Keeping it fresh.
Yeah.
Is good.
Kind of overdo it. We'll do one last one from Kyle. Best guess on what conference Washington and Oregon will be playing in 2026 and what happens to the remaining 8? We kind of talked about this last week, I guess.
What was the question?
Best guess on where Washington and Oregon will be in 2026 and then what happens to the remaining 8?
Haven't we been answering that all friggin' show?
I think we kind of
have no friggin' idea. My best guess is that they are.
They went from good mood to pissed off.
Well, we just like it. I'm sorry. We had to spend an hour talking about TV deals because that's what you put first on the document today.
We didn't have to. You talked about it willingly. I didn't force you. Well, I guess I slapped you around.
You hit me. We talked about this already. But
sign up the back of this hand.
Oregon and Whack. Washington in 2026 will be playing their football games in the Big 12. There
Ooh,
you go.
I like it.
That's different from the answer I gave last week. Do you want to know why? Because nobody knows. Nobody knows anything.
We don't know. But I think in the coming weeks, we're going to, like, there's going to be some big news, I think. And I know Dave's not a big, like, the spring person, but there's either, like, if there's no deal by, like, 2 or 3 weeks from now, like, that's, I don't think that's a good sign. And if there is one and it's not very good, I think part of what Kliavkov has to do here is they're going to get a deal, and it's sort of one of those things, what can schools stomach? Like, how do we present it in a way that makes it look bigger than it is? That, you know, really, right?
How can we present it in such a way that it looks bigger than it is?
I'm saying, like, literally, there was a bar set by the—
I mean, there's some ab techniques you can do.
If there's a way you can say that it's a $34 million deal—
reduce the size of your thighs.
slim, like, vertical stripes. Yeah. Whatever it is, like, I would say, or horizontal. If there's a way you can say—
trim.
Like,
definitely trim.
If he says something like, total compensation will be $34 million per year, then it's more than the Big 12 makes. But in actuality, it's like 28, but you're, like, playing
a lot
around
of it is angles, actually. Like, the angle of viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, this is an angle different if you're watching on YouTube. Like, do we look different from this angle?
Yeah, yeah.
I think some of it's going to be that.
No, though. I don't think that's the angle you want. I think it's from the underside.
Probably. Yeah. How do you present it? Like, I think that's part of the issue here, too. So I don't know, man. This is like super compelling for me.
It's all about how you present it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super compelling to me. I know you don't like it, but whatever. I guess we should wrap it up. I thought we'd go short.
We should wrap it up. After talking about how we present it, we should definitely wrap it up.
An hour and a half.
If you wrap it up with the right stuff, that might also make it look a little bit bigger.
Just wrap it up. Should I put a picture of Michael Penix up on the screen just for no context, whatever? Just, okay, I'll do that for you. We'll leave you guys with that. For David Woods, follow him on Twitter at David Woods. I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you enjoyed the show. Not a lot of information, not a lot of entertainment, but we're here and we'll keep doing it. And hope you liked it. I don't remember what I did to sign out, so I'm just going to say sayonara.
Goodbye.